this idea of positional sanctification versus progressive sanctification. Yeah. So we talked about often yesterday, our position when we become new creations in Christ changes immediately.
Yeah, you're justified.
Yes. It's single, punctuated, completed action in a moment.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Michael Rhodes. You are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Michael, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, guys.
And we were in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17 yesterday. Michael, it's a big text, so I don't know if we've got time, but I think we should maybe just go ahead and read those two verses.
Two verses. Let's just read them again to remind us all. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Amen. Michael, thanks for opening up God's word yesterday for us. Some of the key takeaways, things I walked away with yesterday, we talked about regeneration and how that plays out, what that looks like, what the effects of that are in our life. There's obviously a lot of other places in Scripture where we see a lot of key texts for the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit, but that clearly gets played out here.
I probably use more big theological words. Yes, I was like, I use regeneration, justification, sanctification, glorification, all in the same sermon.
Sentences.
I know. I don't know what was wrong with me.
I think I missed that whole year in school where we talked about verbs and nouns and I don't know. I need to probably go back and learn that, but that was great. Which I love that. I love that we open up and it's like, okay, we've got two verses, but there's a lot of density there. There's a lot of stuff that we can dig out and is connected. And clearly Paul has written other letters that we have in God's word and lots of similar language and lots of running themes throughout the message. So, or throughout this book that we have here. So yeah, regeneration. And then we saw, the reality that everyone who's not currently in Christ has a potential to become a new creation in Christ. That was, Michael, I think where you landed the message in that kind of vision was really motivating for me. And I think the thing I wrote down in my notes, it was kind of like, who can be a potential new creation in Christ? Everyone who currently isn't in Christ. Just the simplicity of that is beautiful. And then your main idea yesterday was see others in the world differently because of how God sees you in Christ.
Yeah, this text, obviously verse 17 is one of the most well-known, famous texts for Christians. It was just fun to see it in context with verse 16 attached to it, and then going back obviously to 14 and 15.
And Paul's whole argument throughout this is totally like, what are you looking at?
Correct.
how do we relate to one another?
Yes,
here?
Because you, Corinthian culture, you look at it very differently than how the Christian should look at it. And so it was fun to see that. It was really comforting, I think, to be reminded of the transformation of my own heart, who I once was. The old has passed away. The new has come. And just to consider back to, I became a Christian as a freshman in high school, and to see even as a 14-year-old, how my life was so self-centered and not oriented around the glory of God whatsoever at that point. Just really thankful for that. And then that vision piece where I kind of describe other leaders in our church and how they were new creations.
Yeah.
That was just such a really cool thing to consider other people.
There were some
people.
Really obvious ones.
sure. And I didn't ask people if I should say that or not. But yes, they were obvious ones.
But I think that was helpful too. Or once I got past that of like, oh, that was Matthew. That was, you know, but I'm like, what, apart from Christ, how would I describe myself? Mm. That was really impactful. Just kind of meditating on that. And that really is not like the self-deprecating or like really drawing out guilt, but the reality of like that brings me to worship.
Yeah.
That brings me to praise. And like, I'm like, God, apart from you, I would be lost.
Yeah,
this is totally who I would be. And it is by your saving grace that I'm not.
And I think that could be a great exercise for like just people even listening to this podcast. Like if you had to describe your life pre-Christ in just a couple words, like I use the fundamentalist farmer or the self-righteous Pharisee or the disordered eater or whatever it may be, and how you would have defined yourself before Christ, that just could be a good exercise to say, here's how I could briefly describe this to say, oh, now I'm a new creation.
So we do have a helpful tool, a shameless plug here on our website. If you just go to our website and then search /salvation-story, there's a walkthrough in there where it's helping you tell your story and share the gospel through God's transformative work in your life. So it breaks it down real simply and says, I mean, there's a video of me explaining how to share your story and whatever. It's not,
you just want people to watch you.
So. I get paid every time. No, I'm just kidding. That's not, but I think that the breakdown is my life before Christ, how Christ saved me, and after Christ saved me, what is my life like now? And just is a helpful tool of like, the point isn't to tell your story and exalt yourself, but the point is to say like, the gospel works and changes people.
Sure.
Like, this is what it looks like. So shameless plug there.
For all the billions of people who listen to this podcast right here, even though it just started a couple weeks ago, really, so many people don't know your face. They just hear your voice. So you're like, people can see my voice in a video now.
See my voice?
See my voice, face. See my face.
They hear my voice. They can put my face with my voice. There you go. I got you. Michael, we kind of already dove into this a little bit. First question we always like to ask is, if you had more time in your message, or whether that's to include something else or expand on something that you shared, what would you like to spend that time on? And that's what this time is for. Right.
Sure.
Now.
Yeah, I think, the point of the text is to say, because you're a new creation, this is how you should see people. So the evidence of being a new creation in Christ is you should see people not according to the flesh, right? Yeah. So there is evidence of being a new creation. But then that whole, the old has passed away, the new has come. There's a lot more evidences of you being a new creation than just how you see people. Mm-hmm. And if I had time, I mean, that's the more, here's more theological terms. If you knew me, I'm not like the crazy theological brain. Like, there are people on staff and other pastors that are much more theologically knowledgeable than I am, but it just happened to come up a lot in this. So this idea of positional sanctification versus progressive sanctification. Yeah. So we talked about often yesterday, our position when we become new creations in Christ changes immediately.
Yeah, you're justified.
Yes.
Once, boom, done. Yes, it happens.
Single, punctuated, completed action in a moment. But then the old has come, passed away, the new has come. There's a progressive sanctification to that as well, where there's this single action, but then it has continuing results. Mm-hmm. And so there's plenty of other ways that your life should show that you're a new creation in Christ.
Yeah.
And I was reading this old, like, 19th century pastor named Octavius Winslow.
I think you are becoming a nerdy theologian.
Maybe,
Michael.
So. I think I don't this is know.
Like, are you, I mean, like, wearing button up sweaters and just, you know, sitting by the fireplace reading old dead guys. Yeah, it's great. sorry, man.
So he once said, the effect produced by the new birth is radical and thorough. Mm. Your heart that was once hateful is now loving. The world that you once loved is now crucified. The pleasures that you once indulged in have now lost their charm. The sins that you once committed are now loathed and forsaken, and the society which you once enjoyed now are no longer attractive or pleasing. Mm. And just like, oh, wow. There is so many evidences of this transformation, from the way your heart is, from the way you see the world, your pleasures, sins, society.
Yeah.
And so it's just affected in everything.
Yeah, that's sweet. You know, we were talking a lot about regarding people according to the flesh. Well, then during 9:30, I was up in Launch Point. And one of the texts that we go through when we're talking about care is Galatians 6. And I'd never really seen, I think it was so fresh in my mind just talking about not regarding people according to the flesh and hearing kind of Paul's language. We see walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh, like not by sight. I mean, just this reality of like what makes sense to the world versus how God operates, what is, you know, the Spirit's work in us versus what is the flesh, like the sinful heart. And I'd never seen in Galatians 6 that it's the call is like, if anyone is caught in a transgression, not meaning like, hey, I caught you, but like, hey, you're ensnared because you're walking by the flesh. The challenge is you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. I'd never really seen that kind of like, oh, that's because it's that person's caught in that transgression walking by the flesh, where those that are spiritual restore him to the life of walking and keeping in step with the Spirit. Yeah. And just that like consistency of language throughout Paul's writings is super sweet. So
yeah, that's great.
Look at us nerding out theologically together. It's great. I think we're, if you guys see us at a coffee shop, like, I don't know. You don't drink coffee, do you?
No, that's where my nerdy theologicalness just goes to the side. Like, I drink hot chocolate all the time, okay. Not coffee.
Well, if you see Michael wearing a cardigan sitting by a fire drinking coffee with me, come join us. It'll be a great conversation.
Or you may be sorely disappointed.
Who are these guys? All right, Michael, second question here. You mentioned a few examples of filters that we might use to sinfully regard others according to the flesh. So those were idolization, superficially, and objectification. And then you gave some pretty like extreme ramifications of those. So kind of scaling that back, are there subtle ways that we might be doing that we should become more aware of?
Yeah. So I'll just kind of recap these and maybe give you a couple of examples. So the idolatry filter, we might see people as like elevated gems of society, celebrities, influencers, popular people. And that just leads to, I mentioned this, like deep insecurities and like incredible comparison traps, right? I think we have elevated – I was talking to somebody after the service about Taylor Swift, of how we have elevated her to some godlike status somehow. And people are obsessed. All right, you're laughing right now.
I just love how like that's our – of all the people we can pick right now, we just keep going to Taylor Swift. It's like
because she's taking over
Veritas Church is on a mission to tear down Taylor Swift.
Please, no, we're not. But just I think the subtle way in all this – and it's far less than looking at a celebrity.
Yeah.
One of the worst lures, temptations of social media is to start comparing yourself to others.
Sure.
And not just the influencers and the celebrities, but to compare yourself to peers who you think have something that you want, right? And because you can easily spot the celebrity and be like, I don't need that lifestyle. Or you could go on the other end and like, I can spot pornography and I know I shouldn't look at that.
Yeah.
It's subtle to see like, I really envy this, or I'm enticed by this type of lifestyle that friend is living. And so I think that's one thing to be watching out for when it comes to that idolization filter.
Yeah, that's good. I think even in that one, anybody that anytime a good thing becomes an ultimate thing. So not even just, like you said, peers, desiring a fruit of ministry or fruit of godly behavior apart from like actually abiding and dwelling with the Lord of like, I can really look up to John Piper and like desire to be that kind of an orator. But like, if my point is, I just want to speak as well as John Piper, I'm like, no, that's not imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's I'm idolizing and desiring a fruit of godly living that's apart from God himself.
Totally. Yeah. So that would be the idolatry filter. The second one was objectification filter. So we see people as objects or things to get or accomplish what we want. Mm. I would just say the subtle ways here are if you are in any position of authority, and that may be even as a parent over your children or employer over employees, consider your care for those people. Mm. So, when's the last time that you like genuinely asked them how they're doing rather than just told them how they could serve you?
Yeah.
Because that would be just a subtle way that's like, oh, I can't remember the last time I asked my wife how she's doing. Mm. Or I can't remember the last time I asked my employee, how's life going for you? And I know there's maybe some boundaries there in certain occupations where you're not going to dig deeply into somebody's life and say like, how's your marriage? All that kind of stuff. But to say, how are you doing? And genuinely listen to how they're doing. If you can't remember the last time you did that, or if I were to ask your employees, hey, does your boss ever do that? And they're like, no, he's never done that. Or she's never done that. Well, then you might be using people as objects. Yeah. Last one would be the superficial one where you see people simply based on their looks or appearance. I would just say, Look at your friend group. Do they all look just like you? Are the people that you hang out with all the time look just like you? Mm-hmm. Now, that could look very differently based on where you live and the mm-hmm. context that you live in. But if everybody is just like us, we potentially, now potentially is a key word there, we could potentially be cutting other people out of our lives just based on what they look like.
Yeah.
That's not true across the board, so don't jump like too far down that path. But that just could be a subtle way. It's like, oh, I've surrounded myself with everybody that's exactly like me. I might be superficially judging other people and defining other people based on what they look like.
That's good. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think all three of those, and again, that's not, initially I think the question I had was like the main filters where it's just like, these are examples.
Sure.
Like I'm sure if there's something, if you're like, no, really, I don't struggle with any of those, but I struggle with this.
Sure.
It's like, hey, that's a filter. Like totally. You've identified that. Great. Let's like,
yeah, definitely not an exhaustive list of all the ways that absolutely. We see people, just some examples.
Yeah. That's helpful. Michael, so here our last question. What's your guidance for somebody who is in Christ, who has treated somebody else as if they're too far gone? Maybe yesterday they're sitting there in the seats, or last night at Connect Group, there's just this grief of like, oh no, like I've written that person off. That was one of the Connection Group questions. Is there somebody that you've treated as if you've written them off? What should they do to reconcile and live out the gospel in that relationship?
Well, one, thank God that for the conviction of the Holy Spirit that He showed you that in His kindness, and in His kindness wants to lead you to repentance. So praise God for that. I think at minimum, you confess your sin to God, knowing that your sin isn't just a sin against another person, but you've offended a holy, righteous God. So you confess it to God, and then you confess it to the other person.
Yep.
Now, there are so many intricacies to relationships, and I you're just hearing a podcast. I don't know the intricacies of all the relationships that are going through your mind as you're listening to this. But so you might confess your sin to that person in person. Mm-hmm. You might write a letter to them. If there's zero relationship with all and you haven't talked to somebody for decades, just making a phone call might be tough. I'm not saying you don't do the tough thing, but it might just be starting with a letter potentially. And then pray for reconciliation. You're not just asking for forgiveness, but you would love to have a reconciled relationship. Mm. That's where it gets a little muddy in our world, where we're dominated by a cancel culture, where we just cut people off or we prioritize ourselves. And I mentioned this at 8:00. I didn't mention it at 9:30 and 11, but like we've written off people who aren't good for our mental health. And I think there are appropriate boundaries that we can have in life. I think sometimes we use boundaries as an excuse not to do the hard thing.
Yeah, or just like, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm
correct.
Just going to remove this and walk away like nothing happened.
Correct, and just ignore it.
Yeah. And then you've got scars and
totally
just stuff that you're not dealing with.
Now, again, I think there are appropriate boundaries based on your situation. Yeah. So. Test those. And I think you mentioned something to me even before this, Sam, was bring others in to test that with you.
Yeah.
To say, where's my heart in this? Because I think sometimes our heart can be wicked and deceitful, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need other people to say, I think you are in a sinful place here. I think you need to consider what's going on. So the other thing I would say, like Christ has made you a minister of reconciliation. We're going to get to that in a couple weeks here. But you can't force reconciliation. You can do your end of the bargain, right? Not bargain, but you can do your end of reconciliation, but you can't make somebody else reconcile.
Right.
So I don't want to just say, keep putting yourself into this and making yourself like miserable over and over and over. When you've confessed your sin, you've tried to reconcile. Yeah. You don't have to keep pushing down that path if there's no reconciliation on the other part. Just don't use boundaries as an excuse. Don't ignore it.
Yep.
But there could be appropriate boundaries that you need in those situations.
Mm. Well, I think the other thing too, like we're going to see in these next couple of verses here at the end of chapter 5. But the reality is ultimately that we're not reconciling wrongs on our, like wrongs done to us. It's ultimately a reconciliation for that individual and God. Like the sins that others commit against us or that we commit against other people is really a result of a misordered worship problem with our Creator. And so there is that like we're not just trying to like right all the wrongs and go through, like, okay, list out everything you've ever done and go like atone for all of that and make everything up. But ultimately we're trying to walk out of the truth of the gospel that we believe in a God who has every single right to condemn us to death because of our sin against him, and he's holy and we're not. But he has shown us his grace and kindness in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So like, we believe in a God that reconciles unreconcilable people to himself. Mm-hmm. So we should not write people off in that.
Amen. But, amen.
That was sweet. guys, I think, kind of wrapping up here, before we finish up, we've had some really good questions that have come in. I was talking with Michael about this before the podcast, just kind of pre-show here. And, we've had some, I just said pre-show.
Show.
This isn't a show.
Spectacle.
We're sitting in a kid's classroom at a table with crayon on it. Like, this is weird. We're good, guys. Just there's daily dose
show.
Of humility. anyways, so we've had some questions that have come in the last couple of weeks that were about specific things that these were all ones that Jake had said because he's recently been up. So we're gonna kick those to I think next week, and we'll bring those up. Haven't had any that have come in for you yet, Michael. Whew. But we have enjoyed it's been sweet to have this avenue of questions to come in to have this time here. So if you have a question that you'd like us to address on this podcast, there's a form linked in the digital program, also in the connection group email questions. You can find that on our hopefully it gets in our podcast description eventually. I don't know, but or just email me and I'll send you the form. Or you can just email me and we'll ask the question. But it's great. Just give me your questions and we'll talk about it, guys. But I think that's been it's been enjoyable to see those come in, and ultimately just exposes the heart that guys, we're doing the work that God has called us to do, to wrestle with his truths in scripture and apply those to our lives. Like, God's word is transformative and is applicable, and we should be continuing to seek to understand that and put it into practice. So I'm encouraged by these questions that have come in, and just the opportunity to, answer those and to take a stab at it and try to provide some biblical insight. And it's helpful for us as pastors to mm-hmm. to seek. I taught deeper yesterday and I had like four questions that came up. And last night I'm like, I'm doing some research and reading some articles and going to God's word. And, it's super encouraging that, we don't lean on our own understanding, but we get to acknowledge God in all our ways and he'll make our path straight. So super thankful for that. Michael, thanks for joining us today. Guys, send in your questions, and, let's remember, as Christians, we have a unique way of looking at people because of how God looks at us in Christ our Lord. Amen. Church, we love you, and we will see you next time.